everyone. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're talking 6 on History, Episode 7, Blood Brothers. And tonight, live in studio, we have a 2-for-1 for you guys. Nandu Miso Tembe and Edwin Hodge, who play Miss Naomi and Chase on the show. Stick around, we're going to talk to them. Are we though? We really are, right? Okay, we are. Okay, great.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right. Because
we run it.
Edwin and I are going to let you ladies
run it. I mean, you may be here, but we run it.
Y'all go ahead. Y'all do it. Please.
Welcome, everyone.
Women's History Month.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. 6 is the topic tonight. Episode 7.
Right.
My name is Daniel Lindgren. You can follow me at TheDanLindgren on Instagram and Twitter. Selly.
What's buzzing, y'all? You know what time it is. It's Selly right here. You can catch me on all things social media at Selly Hangout.
Nando.
Nandu Miso Tembe at Nandu Miso Tembe on Insta and Twitter.
And this is Edwin Hodge. You can get me Edwin Hodge on Twitter and Chaotic Symphony on my IG.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much, both of you, for being here. This is fantastic.
Thank you for having us. We've been trying to get out here for weeks.
For a minute, so excited.
Now, Nandu, we had set it up with you a couple days prior.
I know.
But Selly hunted down you, Edwin, last night.
I didn't hunt him down. You said you're going to let us run it, so let me tell my story.
Let the ladies
How
run.
About that?
What happened? How'd you get Edwin on?
So what happened was,
okay,
you know, Edwin's the older brother of another actor.
Yes, that's
on another show that I love very much.
Right.
Shout out to Underground.
Yes.
And I got invited to the premiere.
Mm. Hey.
So I'm at the premiere, you know, the show was amazing. The show's after. Everyone's letting out. Bunch of girls are going up to Edwin like, oh my God, can I get a picture?
You were kind of like a lioness, you were kind of in the cut, chilling,
you know. I was like, all right, I'm just going to roll up on him.
Okay.
So I was like, excuse me. I was like, what's up, Edwin? He was like, hi.
Who are you?
He's like, hi. You know, because I came real aggressive.
Real aggressive.
You know, I'm from New York. That's what I do.
Under over 22 girls bothered you last night.
Over.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
So I was like, hey, I'm for Sally from AfterBuzz TV for, you know,
for
the six.
Okay. For your show.
And then he was like, okay, what's up? I was like, so, you know, people gonna get in here? Like, I need my people here.
Yeah,
you know,
like, I'll be there tomorrow.
And there we go.
You know, we had two lovely Caucasian people in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
It's time for a chocolate.
Well, y'all messed up because Black History Month was last month. So
gotcha.
Y'all are a little late.
Bringing
the Negroes
by 24 hours.
By 24 hours. Okay.
God damn it.
But you know what? You're making up for it now.
Yes, we're making up for it now. Yes.
All right. So, one of my favorite relationships on this show is Rip and Nandu.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, Rip and Naomi.
Naomi.
Who I still refer to as Miss Naomi because I look at you like a teacher when I watch the show and I am just your student and I would do anything for you.
Listen.
Wow.
I would get A's in your class.
Dan has been obsessed with y'all forever.
Whatever.
Oh my God. Oh.
I love the relationship. I'm a little upset with the progression of it. It's not moving as quickly as I would want it to.
Right.
And you know, in this episode, it's like I almost like it was like there was too much going on where I was like, how can they get romantic at this point?
But they were cuddling. There was a cuddle moment.
It wasn't so much a romantic moment.
It was more of an intimate moment.
Mm.
And you know, first of all, we used to kind of refer to each other as Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay.
You know, we really were partners in crime.
For sure.
And we worked very hard to deliberately build the relationship, and we really thought it was much more interesting for the audience to watch two people go from here, you know, two people who were so incredibly different, literally polar opposites, and standing at opposite ends of the spectrum when they first meet, and then slowly watch them grow closer together. And so that moment, and bear in mind, this is a woman who's just been gang raped several times.
Of course, we had talked about that.
Right. Yeah. So the intimacy that develops and the love story that develops slowly and the friendship and the connection is a non-traditional one in a healthier environment, not the backdrop of war. Maybe it would have been a little different.
Together?
I mean, you could buy her flowers. They could do the usual courtship. But in this kind of environment, you know, it's not exactly conducive to romance. But I think it is really special and really a powerful message. I think, especially in such a time as this, to see such different people transcending racial differences, ideological and political differences, and still finding a way to transcend all of that and find love and friendship and comfort and courage in one another. So that moment was more about... if this is the last moment that we have together, we're going to make the most of it.
Yeah. I feel like throughout these 7 episodes, you guys have just been on one very long first date. You've never left each other's sides.
It's one long first date.
One long ass first date.
It is.
It really is.
It really is.
But that is hilarious because it one long ass birthday.
Yeah.
Edwin, favorite color, seafoam green?
Oh, Jesus.
What's up with that? Everyone's ragging on you about the drive in the Prius.
We still didn't get to choose that color,
right?
No, I didn't. Listen,
I knew you were going to do that.
I read the script one day. They said I was going to be in a Prius.
That should have been your first worry.
I was upset about that. I'm like, I couldn't have like an old school Mustang or something. Like, he's a SEAL.
I mean, he went to Harvard.
And then I show up to set, and it's seafoam green.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just had to take a look. I asked everybody around, why the hell is seafoam green? I'm a SEAL. But apparently that was the joke. So I just went along with it.
I don't know.
But I feel like it's a deeper reflection of Chase's sensitive side.
It's not.
You went to Harvard. Maybe you studied gas mileage there. Right. And you're like, this is the best one.
I'll let y'all know. Chase ain't exactly who y'all think he is. So.
Oh, can you tell us who he really is?
I ain't going to tell y'all that. But
By the way.
This is news to me.
Congratulations on getting picked up for season
2.
Let everybody know that. Watch season 2, please. Let Sally and I come back and talk more.
We're going to leave y'all with a cliffhanger. Y'all not going to appreciate. I'm going to let y'all know that right now.
But the crazy thing about it is, and I was Dan and I were kind of talking about it. I was saying that there are certain things that I think are going to happen, which we'll talk about in predictions. But Dan was like, well, it's because, you know, they got picked up for season 2. I was like, but they already shot this before they knew, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it's really interesting how writers and creators of shows do that, because it's like...
They knew it was a hit. Come on.
Yeah.
He says it ends in a cliffhanger next episode. He already gave it away.
It just, like... From day one, you know, when the project, you know, was being put together, you know, when we're looking at the producers, the writers, you know, the team behind the show, and then when they started getting all the actors together, you knew there was something special about it because of the people who wanted to be involved with this project.
Yeah.
I myself was kind of hesitant because...
Really?
It's History Channel. You know, as an actor, as an artist, you know, you want to be on network. You want to, you know, be seen by, mainstream. But, you know, with this new digital age of media with Netflix and Hulu and all these other outlets, you know... Our material, anybody's material, can be seen by tens of millions of eyes now.
I mean, you guys are blowing up all over Twitter.
Oh, my God, yes.
And that's a great thing. I mean, I think it's right for this time, politically, you know. Emotionally, I'm sure a lot of people can identify with this, whether you're in service or not, or have somebody who you know is in service. Mm-hmm. But it's a show with a message, you know. It's a show about family. It's a show about loyalty, heart, you know, respect, and you know, the ultimate cost of war, you know, the ultimate sacrifice of war. So, you know, in doing so, they were able to bring on certain talent, and we were able to do what we need to do to make this the hit that we have right now.
One of the hottest shows of 2017.
I'm telling you, very humble co-star.
Well, when Donnie, we really are one of the best, literally, officially one of the best new TV shows of 2017.
Yes.
They told us that too when they asked us to do that. They said, this is going to be a hit. We really think it's going to be a hit.
The funny thing is, the same way I was going to call him Chase.
Call him Chase.
Call him Robert. When Edwin tells us that story, I think about, like, Dan and I coming on to the family of After Buzz TV, and this was our first panel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I got the email, they were like, oh, check out this trailer, and if you're interested. And I saw the trailer to the show, and I was like, you know what? I have a really good feeling about this show. Exactly. Just from the trailer. Like, I was like, you know what? I do want to get on the panel for the show and talk about the show. And
right. And I was just shocked they asked me. Yeah. And I was just shocked they asked me to be on the panel. So I just, signed up.
Yay! Signed right up. I'm so glad that you did. Yes. You guys have done a wonderful job each week.
Thank you.
And it's really exciting just to know that people are so passionate and excited about the show. Because we know that we are.
Yeah,
but when we see and feel your passion... And just how you know, intense you are and specific you are every week in dissecting and exploring the different issues, it really means a lot to us.
Because sure. Speaking of specific,
yes.
Why the hell did you have to roll that tire by the water? why is it? Couldn't it be anywhere? Let's have him soaking wet by the water. You must have been like, come on, really?
Yo.
You guys let me do this here?
Listen, first we had to do that whole scene with Donnie and I when we had the competition.
Right.
Tire flipping,
in previous episodes.
I remember that. Yeah. And Donnie was giving you a hard-ass time, right?
Yes. Trying to. I kept up.
Oh, here we go, Chase. Here we go.
He tried to. But no, it was crazy because they were like, yeah, you know, we're going to do this whole kind of like montage of like all the guys getting ready. You know, we want you to do a tire flip. I'm like, what the?
That's how they explain this?
Why? We're trying to do a tire flip.
Like, why? By myself.
How heavy is that tire?
Now we have to do it on the beach. Now it's getting filled with water
because
the tide's coming up.
And like, the sand.
And the sand. Like, it, yeah.
No, how heavy really is that tire?
I think it was like 250.
Really heavy.
I'm not lifting that.
Yeah, it was 250.
Wow, 250.
Yeah.
That's like double my body weight.
Right.
Yeah. It's like lifting through. That's crazy. Yeah.
It was fun, though. It was fun. I mean, it made me look like a man, you know?
Yeah. I can't. Look at him. See, that's why he got all the girls rolling up on him at premieres. You know what I'm saying?
Did wardrobe give you the option to have the fit on, or you could just have, like, shirtless?
No, well...
The ladies
was
the one.
It was shirtless.
It was supposed to be shirtless.
Okay.
It was too cold? Supposed
to be. No. It's just it didn't. Navy SEALs wouldn't do that. Like, we're not going to be out there. Like, nah.
You're all right.
You know, it's about the work and not looking good. You know, we got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. So
yeah.
The longer we stay wet, the longer we stay sandy. You know, that kind of tests us in ways that we just can't imagine. It sucks, actually.
it really does, the water's cold.
Sand is everywhere.
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 Now, we asked Donnie about the SEAL training. Should we ask you? How did you do it in the SEAL training?
It was hell. I'm not gonna lie. It was hell.
Donnie said he was killing it. He's like, I'm doing my thing. I'm the most competitive person in the world. That's what Donnie Boaz said. Tell us a story about Donnie.
Dan, you shouldn't have opened
Let's
up
do it.
The can
Let's
of worms,
do it.
That's the only
Already.
Thing I know how to do.
Oh, that Donnie.
Miss Naomi, that's all I can do. I'm the classic
Miss Naomi. Exclusive.
So,
yes, let's get this.
Donnie and I. I love Donnie. Because actually, our characters on screen plays just how we were in real life.
Right.
He and I were swim buddies when we started this, right? Everybody has a swim buddy. You don't leave your swim buddy no matter what the challenge is, all this other madness, right?
Yeah.
Now, Donnie is an athlete.
Right.
He's used to being superior, number one, right? So everything was about Donnie in the beginning, right? And we're like,
come on, Donnie.
I'm like, you quickly gonna learn. You can't do this by yourself, you know?
Yeah.
In my head, that's what I'm thinking. But yes, slowly but surely, he realized that this was going to be a team effort.
Yeah.
But one morning, we get up early. We got to go to the ocean.
Yeah.
And we have to, like, swim through, like, three little riptides and go down and grab some sand and put it on top of our head. I can't swim. So that ain't happening. I'm not the best swimmer at all.
So that's who he was talking about when he said.
I can't swim. Oh, yeah.
I knew who he was talking about, but I wanted Edwin to say.
I didn't know.
Story for you about
I didn't know.
Too.
Oh, my God.
Well, tell us a story. We got time.
This dude, Donnie, I love him to death, but I get up and he's like 100 yards away from me. I'm like, how the hell are you just going to let me float on down the ocean and you're supposed to be saving my life? It didn't make any sense.
Okay.
Donnie, I loved you, but I almost died, man.
Come on, Johnny.
Tell the truth.
Almost died, man.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
No, Donnie got me, but...
you want to ask the question?
No, first day, training, we have these evolutions, and
yeah.
We have to go to the pool. Like I said, I can't swim.
A Navy SEAL that can't swim.
I know, right?
I can't.
This is the best.
It sucks. So we get there. They tell us we got to wait in the pool for 5 minutes. Everybody jump in. They push me in. I'm sitting there trying to, you know, do whatever they're doing. I can't.
Waiting
so
water?
Waiting water. I'm swimming to the edge of the pool. They taking my hand.
This is how we wait. Naomi's like, this is how you wait water?
I'm waiting water. I'm waiting water.
I usually do this.
Yeah, no. I don't know how to do all that. But, yeah, we have to get into a swim, 500 meters. I can't even do, like, 3/4 of the first lap.
It's okay.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. It's all right. I'm feeling good. It's cool.
Is his heart beating? Can you feel his heart beating faster?
But I found myself hugging onto this diving board, and Coach Tree came over. Coach Tree is, he's about 6'3".
He's built like a tree.
240, yeah. Big, stocking, black
Of course,
dude.
That's his name, yeah.
But he didn't join the SEALs until he was 30. You know, wow. He didn't learn how to swim until he was 30.
Mm. Wow.
So I was like his perfect target. Right. So I'm sitting there, I'm hanging onto the board, and he comes over to me. He's like, hey. I'm like, yes, Coach. He's like, you know what they say about black people? I was like, yeah, we can't swim. He was like, well, do you want to perpetuate the stereotype of a black man? I was like,
ooh.
No, Coach. No,
Coach, I don't.
No, you know, and it's like,
no pressure.
And, but they do that. They like find these little, these words just breaking you down. Yeah. And it's not in a disrespectful way
but
or anything
to build
like
you
that.
Up.
But it's to make you realize that you're holding yourself back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like motivation,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. But it's motivation in the most negative and hurtful way sometimes. You know, I love what happened and the man that I became after it. But
look at him staring to the camera.
Yes,
as he's
just,
I'm just
he's
listen,
just
this is
your camera's right here, Adam.
Is,
tell the world right now.
Coach
hey
Tree.
World, listen, I'm telling you.
Okay. There you go.
This is what you did.
What
Tree.
I went through?
Yep.
What I went through?
Well, yeah.
Nothing compared to what them SEALs did.
That's
but,
what Donnie said.
Yes.
You
yep.
know, I feel good cuz I feel like I did something.
Let's, for your art.
Let's go to the live feed, Sally.
Yes. So, question from Gabrielle.
Oh, hey.
She wants to know if Edwin was the host on AfterBuzz, what show would he want to cover?
If I was a host, you honestly, I just saw Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that's on Netflix.
That show is absolutely hilarious to me. I honestly, I love Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
I've loved her ever since
E.T.?
Since E.T., yeah, exactly. And then Timothy Oliphant, you know, I actually got a chance to work with him, and I just love his work as well.
He's funny, man. He does some great stuff.
But the show, I think it's whimsical. I think the combination of kind of the gore and the comedy and, you know, the realism of the situation, how they make this idea of her being a zombie a very real family situation. Yeah, like it's hilarious. But I think it was executed well, and I can't wait for a second season. That and Stranger Things too.
Yeah, that's gonna be good.
Yeah,
I cannot wait.
Nandi, what about you?
Yeah,
what do you want to host?
If you
got to be here with us,
Veep and House of Cards, my two favorite shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Veep and House of Cards.
See, like political shows.
I do. Yeah, I mean, really do.
See how I know things? I know what those shows are about.
See,
yeah.
If Newsroom was still on, then I would say Newsroom. I love me some Aaron Sorkin.
All right.
I love me some Sorkin. But it's not, so...
If the original Full House was still on, that's what I want. The original, I want you gotta bring them all
Danny,
back. Not
Michelle,
just Fuller House. I don't want Fuller House.
Not Fuller House.
Not Fuller House. I want the Full
the
House.
Originals.
Right.
The original.
The original.
I literally
the
want
awesome
them all to live in the same house at, like, the age of 16.
Well,
I don't want
you know
them.
The twins, they yes, just, they're not twins. They're not into the TV thing, apparently.
Mary-Kate
yes.
and Ashley will refuse to be a part of it. They put some digs in on Fuller House, too, to try to get at them, but...
Really? Nothing?
Yeah, they put some digs on them, like, you know, why isn't she here? Oh, she's in New York. They all stare at the camera, you know, working
oh,
on a fashion
wow.
career.
Wow.
Ha ha ha.
Listen, I okay. love me some Olsen twins.
Yes. Yes.
They were the business growing up.
Oh my, all right, let's not get into that. Let's get to the episode.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so they go to the grave of Sarah.
Cheryl and Sarah's daughter. Yeah.
And
I felt like Bear just needed a hug in that moment. Like, I really
of course you
wanted
to give
a
Bear
hug.
Hug. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
He's got the biggest crush on Bear.
I do.
Okay.
You don't have to
Let's
tell them.
They know.
She says it every week.
I don't
know
if it's not obvious
they
every
know.
Week, but
they know.
Sully and Bear are like this. Am
yes,
I right?
We are. Just in a fantasy life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because everyone
right
who comes in the show, I say it every week. Yeah. He's married in real life and he's married on the show. I do not
you
covet
no
one's husband.
You
I do not covet. Right. That is my disclaimer.
Bear's last name is
Graves.
And they're at a grave. Yes. I mean, I was like, that's what I was thinking during that whole scene. Yeah. I was like, this
that's
is.
That's what you were thinking.
This is, well, hold on. This
the
is
the emotional intensity of the
That's
situation.
The first time I had realized it, though, in like
that
seven episodes.
At the grave.
At the grave.
Yeah, it was a lot. And then, all right, so why don't you guys tell me what you thought about the Lena's answer or Lena's statement to him right at the end of the scene. Let's talk about
From a woman's perspective, go
all
ahead.
Right, Nadia, you're up.
Yeah, it's like I bow out.
I mean, I could, no, I take it, but from a woman's perspective.
I understand it, because it was either last episode or two episodes ago when she went to Gloria Rip's ex-wife's house.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And she was basically
last episode.
Yeah. Said, you know, he's falling apart, but he's not talking to me. I have no idea what he's going through, but obviously I can feel that things aren't right. Mm-hmm. What do I do? And Gloria said, get out.
Yeah.
She basically said, all they know is death. And if you want life, if you want a child and just life... get out, because that world is just death, and it'll drag you down with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you kind of track that storyline or that kind of emotional track for her, I get it, because just before the grave scene, there was an exchange in the garage, right?
Yeah.
Where he's kind of breaking down.
Last episode.
I think in that moment, she sort of realizes you're not okay.
Yeah.
You're not okay just for yourself as a human being, let alone a husband, let alone the father and caretaker of a young new life.
And like we had said last week, that's the first time she's hearing about these missions. Like, she didn't really know it.
She doesn't say anything.
She's finally able to start like, is this what I want?
It's bad. Yeah. It's ugly.
Oh, God, yeah.
And this is why they're not supposed to know.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that's the dilemma for a lot of these military wives, is that obviously you want to know this is the man that you love, that you're sharing your life with, that you're sleeping next to. Mm. You're obviously seeing him conflicted and like a tormented soul. You want to understand what's eating at him, but at the same time, I don't know that she wanted to hear the answer that she got.
At the end of the day, you're not going to be prepared as a spouse, whether you're the wife or the husband. You're not going to be prepared to hear what these people are going to tell you.
Right.
You know, they have seen things, they have done things that, you know, we couldn't even imagine doing, wouldn't even want to do. And even given that extreme situation, who's to say what we would do?
Right.
Are we really brave enough to sit there and try to fight and shoot back? Or are we going to run? Right. You know, us as human beings... our natural thing is just to kind of just take flight, just
survival.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you have these SEALs, men and women, who, and even Army, you know, Marines, they go in and consciously put their lives on the line for us in a way that it takes them away from their true reality. And when they come home, they're not who they should
traumatic.
Be, you know, to their wives or their husbands or their children, you know. You take a life that changes you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And if you think about what he was sort of confessing, I mean, I think he's really haunted, because this isn't just the enemy, another bad guy, another man that he's facing on the battlefield. Right.
He
and then took a little girl
a little
out of her bed,
that,
dragged her down the stairs.
Which could be his daughter, which could be his wife.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, this is what you try to separate yourself from when you're out there, you know, in the heat of war. But when you get that time to decompress, you sit back and you say, I just killed a child or you know I killed somebody's grandfather, somebody's mother. Like, when you take that into perspective, I mean, who's to say they have a normal life, you know?
And then that's what Bear says at the site. He says, all I know is death.
Mm-hmm.
You know
it.
So for me, it made complete sense for her to be in, I agree, to be in that place.
Exactly.
To say that to him. I mean, to a certain degree, I was and wasn't surprised at his response, which was nothing.
Right.
But to a certain degree, you're trained to, I have friends who are Marines.
Yeah.
I went to school in Virginia. So, you know, like, they're trained to shut off their emotions, you know?
So Buddha and his family are at the beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Buddha's wife's super hot.
So I'm just gonna get Shout out to
Nadine Velasquez. She's gonna be super happy.
Nadine, my God.
I know.
Orange bathing suit. Keep wearing orange bathing suits. But no, let's get into the serious part. I'm sorry.
We'll tell her.
I'm sure she's gonna care. Oh, the Dan Lingren inside. Yeah, right. Yeah. I'll shout him out.
She looked good. She looked good.
So, Sally, you had a lot of thoughts on the scene. I thought something completely different than you, so I'd like to get your perspective on what was happening in that scene.
I mean, for me, you know, there's so much that this family dynamic that has been happening that revolves around their daughter, yet and still, we didn't know the daughter was going to drop the bomb on us that everything we've been working for, you don't even want to do. You don't want to go to school. See, this is why I don't have kids. She'd get a chancleta.
Somebody gonna die.
Oh, yeah?
You know, like, okay. there will be no discussion.
Yeah,
like,
there is no discussion.
But it's one of those things where it's like their fights, the need for money, the need to leave, you know, the SEAL team has all been revolved around this girl going to this dance school.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and when you think about it, I mean, there are going to be sacrifices to be made. And in this given point, especially with Buddha, you know, he's dealing with that struggle of not being on the team. You know, that's not something that he wants to do. But at the same time, he knows he is a father and he is a husband and he has to take care of his children. And if it meant him dropping out and getting a regular job and his wife going on and getting a job to do what they can for their children, then that's what was going to happen. And I say this based on, you know, the sacrifices that my mom gave up to make sure that, you know, her children had a great life and that, you know, we didn't live or grow up the way that she did, you know. So, you know, when looking at the season and looking at their story evolve, you kind of don't see that playing out in that way. But it is kind of a bomb because the normal family is going to go through that. You know, they are going to go through that whole rebellious teenage stage. Mm-hmm. You know, I did it. I'm sure all of us have done it in some form or fashion. It's just another aspect of what is real and honest, in my opinion, as far as how we deal with our families.
And what I love about what Juan Pablo has talked about this, he said, you know, the kind of the big dilemma for SEALs when they come back home, not just on a human level in terms of the trauma of, like you said, coming back and now having to process what they've done and what they've been through, but if you're a father, a family man, if you're married, the dilemma of, am I more a father
or a husband, or am I more a soldier?
Because this is also my family. Yeah. This brotherhood is my family as well, and I've sworn an oath to protect them and to give my life to them and to my country. But I also have made vows to my wife and my family, and that's a sacred responsibility as well. Yeah. And I owe them everything and my life as well.
He's conflicted, for sure. I mean,
absolutely.
Too much.
So when Jackie says, you know, you're supposed to take care of us, and you're not even doing that, I mean, I think it's like, it's probably the most painful thing a man can go through.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's
right.
like...
Especially if you want to be involved. Yeah, it's the most painful thing.
You know what I mean? Because, yeah. you know, here's my brothers. One of my brothers has been taken and needs to be saved. And here's my wife looking at me in the face and saying, I'm not
there
taking
for,
care of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then again, that just goes to say, you know, shows why our show is just so impactful and powerful, because it really does explore and get to the heart of the real issues. It's not just looking at the fun boom and the bang and the entertainment value of an action show or just the politics of it. I mean, we really are exploring those real human issues that these military families deal with.
Does Buddha's speech get Bear out of his funk? Like, right?
When he says, Morpheus moment?
He pretty much.
He's like,
I'm going to tell you.
50% of this, and then 9% of this, but 1% is you. You are the 1%.
I'm going to tell you why.
Like, the next scene is Bear going up to every single person. Like, motivational speaker.
Totally.
You need that push every once in a while, you know? I mean, going through SEAL Fit training, you know, 4 days of that, guarantee you, we were out there. Hey, man, you need some help? Listen. Mm. You are strong. You are powerful. You gonna get through this. You know, I'm here. I got your back. Literally, that's what it is. That's the only way you're going to get through this. Hmm. We as human beings and they as warriors can have as much confidence as we can instill in ourselves. But if we don't have somebody else who trusts that confidence as well and makes you feel that, you know, you believe in them and you can rely on them. You know, without that, sometimes you do falter, and you know, that self-appreciation, that self-confidence isn't there. So, you know, every once in a while you need that helping word to just be like, you know what? Yeah, no, I'm gonna pick my ass back up, you know, and I'm gonna finish this. And, you know, it's a true testament to who these people are and what they do and why they do what they do, you know.
You speak French?
I wish.
Oh, I love...
Because she speaks six languages. Sorry.
Oh, my God. This woman.
I barely speak one.
So I know. No. I picked up a little French in school, a little
he
Spanish.
He did great in that scene. Chase saved the day.
I was scared for Chase in that moment.
Woo, baby.
You know, it's one of those things. I spent some time in Paris. I picked up a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
But
did you pick up any French girls while you're picking up the French?
Portuguese. She was Portuguese.
Oh. At least he gives us some
good. Kind of show, at least he, not that kind of show.
At least he okay. gave us
did
the
she
word.
Ever say, ay, Jesus, because that'd be in Portuguese.
Can we go to commercial, please?
Man.
Oh, sorry.
Man.
Go to commercial now.
That's a story I can share for you later.
Oh, after. Okay.
After. The after.
In 10 minutes.
That's going to be the after.
In
10
minutes, I get to find out.
After dark buzz. That's what that's going to be. That's going to be to put the children to bed buzz.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
going to
be. Good for you.
Afterbuzz TV okay. exclusive.
There yeah. Cheers to that.
Tell us about your six languages you speak. How does that happen? Because
yes.
I took Spanish in school and I know, like, you know, no. Tu eres muy bonita, huh?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want Taco Bell?
I mean, I'm not 100% fluent in all of them. I'm fluent in three or four and then semi-fluent in
she's being
others.
Humble.
Just three or four.
You know, fluency is a fluid thing. Yeah. I mean, if you're not practicing something and you're not immersed in the culture. But you'd be surprised when I visit certain countries.
You pick it right back up.
It really does just come back.
Awesome.
So as long as it's sort of there. But I do, you know, I come from a home of two opera singers as parents, and so I grew up in, and I also come from South Africa. We have 11 official languages. Mm. So unlike in America,
I know, you
no,
have
no disrespect, everywhere else in the world, people are multilingual.
One.
It's normal.
Yeah, you stare down that
you
camera.
You got one
Edwin.
Language.
Stare it down,
why
Edwin.
Why
stare
you
it down.
You
let
go to Sweden, they talking like 30 different languages.
I wasn't
got...
trying to start nothing,
one
y'all.
Language.
Let them know, Edwin.
I wasn't trying to start nothing.
Spanish about to be the
she put the
language.
Double peace sign out as if that's going to make everything
man,
better
that's
now.
Mixing. We ain't doing all that.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't doing all that.
You get him. Get political on it.
Well, hopefully America, this will inspire you. I mean, pretty much in most other countries in the world, there's a minimum of
two, three, four
and you're required. You're required, you know, in school to learn several different languages. So I grew up I come from a multilingual background. Yeah. My first language is Zulu. And also, you know, I just developed a love for languages. And once you...
I love it. We gotta love it.
America!
America! Spelled M-U-R.
Was she not wearing that?
No.
America.
No.
She didn't know what's going on.
No. She didn't know what was happening.
That is hilarious. I did ask her to curl my hair. It's Women History Month. I had to mention my hair. That is hilarious. That's brilliant.
You haven't heard any of the things that have been happening then.
We love
our
folks. I missed out. But anyway, that's the answer to that question. But it's really come in handy in my career and work as an actress. Not only do I dialect coach, but I sort of specialize in dialects now because I have such a multilingual background and a facility with languages. It means I also have a facility with dialects. Just like with Naomi, you know, I play a Nigerian woman who, you know, was educated in London and has sort of traveled all over the world. And so it's throughout my career, this has been a tremendous asset that I didn't expect. And I certainly didn't plan for that. And I guess it's all part of it goes to show sort of God's bigger plan for your life. That
it kind of happened with True Blood, too. Am I right?
Yeah, I played a Creole woman who spoke Creole and French. And that's been pretty consistent. If I look at maybe the last 10 roles of my career, I've played someone from a different part of the world who spoke it. Just as Naomi, I think I spoke five different languages on the show.
Really?
Five or six minimum. And I didn't know them. So, you know, thank you, Lord. For
neither did Edwin. Yes. He did great. He nailed it. Let's talk about Bucksaw.
Bucksaw.
You get Bucksaw. Chase, you got it.
Man.
Wow, that was so dope.
The whole scene where Buck gets shot, and that's pretty much the transition, going into what we see now. But, you know, as far as that storyline is concerned, what Donnie and I went through personally together, you know, as swim buddies and what so forth, and how it played out in the show, it definitely meant a lot. And, you know, to take on your fallen brother's weapon and use it in his honor, in Seven, we see I take his patch and I put it on.
Right.
And I have my black rifle.
Black rifles matter.
Which is great. Do you know all of them? Do you know all six, like what each person has on theirs?
Let's see.
Donnie's got the Texas flag.
Yeah, Donnie has the Texas flag. Calder had like this glow in the dark. I can't even remember, but it was like a glow in the dark helicopter. They all had these weird sayings on them. I can't.
Donnie's character specific. Donnie says that you were really upset at him because he didn't even tell you that he was gonna die.
I was pissed off at him. Yeah.
Wait, if you're that upset.
I mean,
4 minutes left.
Yeah, I'll finish that real quick. I was mad.
I haven't seen it 4 minutes now. Later.
It's weird because throughout the season, like I didn't read half of the scripts because
she's mad.
She's mad. She talked in your mic and not
she's the teacher. You didn't do your homework.
It's cool.
You didn't do your homework.
She got mad at me one day at lunch because I didn't know anything going on with her character.
Did she hold you after class?
Pretty much.
It's not personal. It's fine.
But she was mad because I didn't know anything about her character. But for me, I
you weren't any scenes with her?
The thing is like I didn't want to know. I didn't want to have any type of knowledge of what
that makes sense.
What she or they were going
because you
through.
Wouldn't because your
worlds
wouldn't.
Were so
like, I wouldn't know, you know. And so for me, there were very specific parts of the script. I read a lot of the Lena, you know, Graves stuff and what so forth. But everything that happened with Boko Haram and Chad and all the other madness, we're not there for that. Like,
of course
we're
not.
We're just not. So for me, I didn't want to have a personal connection. I didn't want to know about it.
I think that's great. There were certain scenes. You were mad at him, though?
She's
still mad. She's still mad at
him. Yeah, she is.
I have a different actor's process.
Yeah, I mean, she just has a different process. But yeah, I don't know.
It does make sense, though.
For me.
You can kind of encounter the characters really with fresh eyes in the moment for the first time. I get it.
When it came to Donnie, we didn't know until the table read, actually.
That's what he said.
And we were sitting there reading, and I remember looking over at Kyle, who plays Calder, and we both like started to cry and we were just like wow, and right after it we all went outside and we kind of hugged each other because it really was a profound moment. Like we're losing a brother, like and that's what we felt. You know, this wasn't another actor on the show or anything like that.
Right,
we went through some shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like we saw each other at our lowest of lows and our highest of highs. And when you go through that with somebody, you do build a special bond. Mm-hmm. And it was taken away in a stroke of a few keys, you know. As much as it is emotional, it is a very pertinent and true part of this story, you know, and what they go through. And it had to be told. And, you know, his sacrifice... in a respectful way is acknowledging the sacrifice of those who have fallen. Owens. It means something. It means a lot.
Mm. All right. Let's get into this quickly. Rip and Michael. Michael's going to be mad if we don't talk about
it. Yeah. Oh my God.
If I don't
mention Dominic's name on this show,
talking about you, Dom.
He will tweet me.
We're talking about you.
But I just,
keep saying it.
Talking about you, Dom. Hey, Dom. Hey,
guess what, Dom?
Talking about you, Dom.
The fact that...
What up, D?
The fact that Rip and Michael get to know each other throughout this episode, the fact that they find that there's so much in common about them, to me, is really special. And you, Nandu, said a really good point when we were watching it, how about they're each other's mirrors.
Absolutely.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, for sure.
Really? I've been waiting for 7 episodes, Dom, for you guys to, like, buddy up and take over the world, and then this happens. Yeah. They saw my reaction after the episode.
No, he was pissed.
Thank you, Edwin. I was
pissed.
I swore a little bit.
He really was. That's another long ass first date, though. I gotta say, yes. In a different way. Michael and Rip. That's also like a
yeah.
I'd rather see you and Rip hook up. But I guess I'll watch Michael. He's a good looking guy. Exactly. I'll watch Michael too. Why not?
But you know what I mean. In the same with us, you know, there's a different, maybe a different kind of connection. But what you were saying is that it is wonderful to see the evolution of that relationship. As well, and that, you know, there's kind of serving to just help us ask and explore those really important questions, the wider global political questions of, you know, what makes a hero versus a villain from everyone's perspective. Like I told you, my favorite line probably from the entire show is that line where Michael says to me, everyone believes that God is on their side.
Yeah.
Everyone, no matter which side of the battle, is fighting for something that they believe in.
Right. Exactly. That's so, that.
Right.
That's why none of us, like, we can never agree on politics or religion. We all believe a different thing.
We never will.
We never will. That's why I, like, I totally, you believe in your thing, I believe in it. We're cool. We can still be friends. Like, man. It's so true. This show's awesome. I love this damn show.
Season finale next week.
So we got to wrap this up.
Yes. Yeah, we got to go.
I want to do predictions with you guys, but you already know what happens.
Yeah. They know what happens.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me this? Is it going to be a cliffhanger?
Yes.
Edwin.
Yes.
What else can we get at? Edwin tells us everything. Sally, ask him something else.
This is the thing. Like, people, I get hit up every week like, yo, why did it keep ending the show this way? It's disrespectful. We need another hour. And I'm like, listen, we need y'all to come back. So this is why we leave the show. So I'm just saying, with respect to everybody who was a part of this show and me being so honored to be a part of it, y'all gonna hate us.
Okay.
Until
next week. After next week.
You're both in season 2, right? So you can't tell us? You're both in season 2, yes?
I can't tell you that.
Come on!
I can't tell you that.
Well,
we can't
you had
that.
A predict. You had
listen,
a prediction.
Listen,
a
listen we'll come back next week.
Use battle next week.
Right here on AfterBuzz. Tune in with
History Channel at 10/9 Central.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. We're going to give our shout outs real quick.
Yes.
My name is Daniel Lingren. You can follow me at The Dan Lingren. Also, for more of my comedy, Kiss and Tell Show, please follow that.
Yo.
Selly, all things at Selly Hangout. I'm also on Jane the Virgin and The Breaks right here on AfterBuzz.
Nice.
Tell us about your production stuff, too.
Oh, Nondumisotembe, at Nondumisotembe on Instagram and Twitter. Please look out for my new film, Michael Jackson, Searching for Neverland, as well as a romantic comedy I have coming out this year called Zulu Wedding.
And I'm Edwin Hodge, Twitter, at Edwin Hodge, and my IG is Chaotic Symphony. And I'm actually taking a slight little break. I'm working on some companies with some friends and family of mine, and it's been good. We got a mobile app company. My brother's an urologist, so we're designing and building watches, and then we have a biodegradable paper company that we're invested in as well. So we're trying to get that going.
Do it! You guys are doing it. Big round of applause for you guys. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank
you guys.
Tune in next week. We'll see you next week for the finale. 6, baby. Woo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.